What's up, guys? I'm Jared Lopes, and you're listening to the Dad Tired Podcast, where I'm helping everyday families learn how to follow Jesus in everyday life. How's it going, guys? Jared Lopes with you back here on the Dad Tired Podcast. Hey, it's good to be with you. If you are listening to this podcast for the very first time, I just want to say welcome. I'm glad that you stumbled upon it because it's likely that you just stumbled upon this podcast. And so glad to have you here with us. Dad Tired is essentially a group of guys who are trying to take their faith, family, and marriage very seriously. It's really an online community, and we would love for you to be a part of it. If you're not, if you've never heard of Dad Tired, there's dadtired.com, which is a resource of tons of articles and stuff on just how to step up and be a better husband and dad and take your faith more seriously. And then I think even more importantly than that, there's actually an online community on Facebook. And so if you search the Dad Tired group, if you search for Dad Tired on Facebook, you'll see one, like a just a general page, like a Dad Tired page, with both guys and gals. But then if you look for groups, you will find a Dad Tired closed group, and you have to be invited into that, or you have to ask for permission to get into that group. And it's not like a big process to get in. The only thing that we want to make sure is that you're a guy, for one, and that you really just aren't a creeper. I don't know how else to say it. But if you're a guy and you want to be around other guys who are taking their faith, their family, and their marriage very seriously, then we would love to have you come be a part of that group. Super cool group of guys, very engaged. Guys are always on there asking questions, sharing suggestions, offering help, confessing sin, all kinds of good stuff. So anyway, if you want to come be a part of that, we'd love to have you be a part of that. You can also find that group by going to dadtired.com/community, or just click the community tab on Dad Tired and you will find the group. Lots of ways to find it. We'd love to have you be a part of it. Come hang out with us. This episode of the Dad Tired Podcast is sponsored by Jelly Telly, which is the only Christian media streaming platform specifically geared towards kids and is only has exclusive Christ-centered content. So if you think like Netflix or YouTube, but for kids and all Christian stuff, that's what Jelly Telly is. Super good service. They have it on the phones, iPads, Roku, anything that you can stream. There's devotionals on there, all kinds of cool Christian episodes of different, all kinds of different shows. It was actually from the creator of VeggieTales that created Jelly Telly. So if you're looking for something to have your kids watch and you don't want them watching YouTube or any other weird, crazy stuff out there, this is a really good service. So check it out. If you go to dadtired.com/jellytelly, JELLYTELLY, you can click that link and it will get you 5 free weeks to try that service out. I think after the trial, it's only like $5 or something like that. So it's definitely worth it. Check it out. Jelly Telly. dadtired.com/jellytelly. Anyway, let's get diving in. Every week I'm thinking about and kind of planning through what would be the best things to talk with you guys about. I want to give you value every week. I don't want to just like bore you or talk for the sake of talking. I don't want to talk for the sake of you listening to my voice. I always say if like Jesus doesn't come and inspire this, if this is not inspired by the Holy Spirit, then you're just like, you're listening to a dude's opinion, and really that's not worth your time. You can listen to a lot better things than that. But if God does come, if Jesus does come and he inspires what's said here, if the Holy Spirit speaks through what's being said, then it's worth all of our time to come and engage and to listen to what he would have to say to all of us. So I want to take this stuff seriously. I want to give you good content and stuff that I feel like God's put on my heart. That being said, sometimes I feel like I overthink it and I'm trying to think through like deep philosophical things, and that's really just not my wheelhouse. If you follow anything on Dad Tired, you will recognize quickly that I like to keep things super simple. I think the things that God called us to are really simple. They're not easy, But they're definitely, it's not complicated either. Like he just tells us to love our wives the way that he loved his church or humanity, which is not an easy task, but it's a pretty simple call to action. And, you know, one of my favorite verses in scripture is actually in the New Testament. John the Baptist is a guy, he's Jesus's cousin actually, and he's preparing the way for Jesus to come. They had been expecting some kind of king or Messiah to show up, someone to rescue them from the oppression that they were in. And in the midst of that, John the Baptist is getting people ready for the coming of Jesus. And he says some really harsh words. In fact, in one point, he's like just calling them out and all their junk. And at one point, he calls them brood of vipers, which is essentially like flipping somebody off or using the F word. It's very serious language. You know, it's not like just fluffy kind of passive language. It's very direct, very strong language. He tells them like, hey, listen, you guys, you are in sin. Like you're in the wrong here. What you're doing, the way you're living is wrong. And they get to the point, he actually has them where they say, okay, like John the Baptist, what do we do? Like you're telling us that we're not living right, that we're not doing what we're supposed to do, that we're not prepared for Jesus to come. So what do we need to do? And his answer is really astounding to me. It's incredible. And he says, if you have two coats, give one to the poor. If you've done somebody wrong, make it right. He's really like, if there's somebody who's hungry, feed them. Out of all the things that he could have said, he gave them a really simple answer. He didn't say like go to church more or listen to K-Love or tithe 12% instead of 10% or stop cussing or like whatever. He didn't give them any crazy advice or like deep spiritual, theological, philosophical advice. He said, here's the truth. Like if you want to follow Jesus, if you've got somebody around you that's hungry, feed them. If you've done somebody wrong, make it right. If you've got two coats, give one to the poor, somebody that doesn't have a coat. Like the message that Jesus was bringing, this kind of kingdom message, was never complicated. But it's definitely not simple because I want to have two coats and I don't always want to make right the things that I've done wrong. And so it's not easy stuff, but it's also not complicated stuff. So that being said, I'm actually going to talk about something that's really basic today, but I think profound. And every time I teach this, every time I speak this, the Holy Spirit convicts me. Like as I'm saying the words, I'm like, oh crap, this is true for me. Like why am I not living this way? And I actually officiated a wedding just 2 days ago. And if you've seen me officiate, if you go to one wedding that I officiate, you'll probably think, oh, that's cool. That was an interesting message. But if you go to two, you'd be like, wow, he just repeats the same exact thing every wedding. And I do, mainly because nobody really listens to what I say. So I figured if they show up twice, they probably forgot what I said the last time. And two, it's just I'm like a one trick pony here. I've only got one thing. So anyway, I was officiating a wedding, and I always start out by telling people that God actually likes weddings, that God is a big fan of marriage. Now, if you're a Christian, if you've been around church for a while, you've heard this, right? Like, obviously, God loves marriage. God loves the sanctity of marriage, which is like a big deal, right? In America in 2016, in a political year, election year, we're talking about marriage and defining marriage. And I'm not going to get into all of that. That's not what this podcast is going to be about. But you've heard likely people talking about like God loves marriage. He designed marriage. And I kind of want to unpack that. Like whether you've been a Christian one day, or maybe you're not even a Christian yet, or maybe you've been a Christian 100 years and you've just heard that like 1,000 times and you believe it, but you don't fully know like, yeah, I don't really know why. Like if somebody asked you, if someone kind of pressed into that, like, okay, what do you mean God invented marriage? Like, what do you mean God designed marriage? What does that even mean? If somebody asked you that question, you find yourself stuck like, you know what? I actually don't know. I don't know fully why God loves marriage. And I don't fully know what it is about and why God designed it or how he designed it. That's going to be kind of today's podcast. And it's really not deep. It's rather simple, but or it's not complicated, but it's also not simple to live out. Now, here's the truth. God originally, in the very beginning of the story of humanity, or more accurately, the story of God, God created the heavens and the earth. This is Genesis 1, the very first book of the Bible, the very first chapter, the very first book that we see in the Bible, God is creating stuff. He's creating the stars and the moon and the planets and the galaxies and the oceans and the trees and the mountains. And every time he creates something, God says, this is good. It's almost like he takes pleasure in what he's creating. Like he creates the galaxies and he names every star and he says, wow, that's actually really good, kind of impressive. Then he creates the oceans and he creates the mountains and the trees. And every time he's creating something, then the light and the darkness and all of this, he says, this is good. This is good. He creates animals and he says, this is good. And the oceans, this is good. And then God creates man, a human, for the very first time. And God says, this is good. Like I'm pleased with what I did, but it's not good for man to be alone. It's actually the very first time in Scripture where we see God say something is not good. And what he's saying is it's not good for man to be alone. He thought Adam needs a companion. He needs a helper. He needs somebody to do life with, to be in relationship with. And so God creates Eve or woman. And so now you have man and woman, and God says, this is good. This is exactly as I designed it to be. The world, the earth, humanity, everything is exactly as I designed it to be. And it's good. And at that point in the story of God, we're about one page deep into the Bible, things are going really, really well. Relationship between God and humans was awesome. Adam and Eve loved God. They wanted to be with God. There was no friction. There was no shame. There was nothing in between them. Relationship was really, really good between humanity, humans, and God was good. It was exactly as God had designed it to be. And relationship between humans, Adam and Eve, was good. It was exactly as it was designed to be. There was no friction. There was no arguments. There was no lying or shame or guilt or manipulation or like who left the toilet seat up or who's going to take care of the kids today or change that diaper. Like none of that. Everything was good. It was exactly as God designed it to be. Everything was good. We're one page deep into the Bible, and then things take a radical, a crazy turn. You can't even get two pages deep in most of your Bibles unless your font is huge. If you have a normal size font Bible, you can't even get two pages deep into your Bible where things take a radical turn and things start to go downhill quick. Humans, Adam and Eve, decided, I wonder if God is holding out on us. I wonder if we would make better gods than God does. I wonder if there's more for us than what God has given us. I wonder if there's more out there. I wonder if we stepped outside of the way that God designed things to be, that we would actually be happier. This was man's greatest sin. It's man's greatest sin today. You and I make that same decision every single day. And Adam and Eve chose two pages deep into the story. They chose to step outside of the way God designed things to be. And I always tell people that God could have and he should have. He had every right at that moment to call it quits, to bail, to leave. All of our Bibles should be one, at most two pages long. God creates humans. Everything's awesome. God says, if you live the way I design things, it's going to go really well. If you don't live the way that I design things, things will not go well. And they chose to not live under God's design, and God could have, he should have, he's the creator. He could have done whatever he wanted. He could have said, all right, I'm out, I bail, like, peace, I'll go create a new earth. I've got a lot of galaxy here to work with. Like, you guys are on your own now. I see ya. You guys can try to figure this out on your own. I'm going to go create a new earth, and we'll try something new, and maybe I'll create better humans. But God doesn't. For the rest of humanity, for the rest of the story of God, God right in that moment says, I won't give up on you. In the midst of your brokenness, in the midst of your shame, in the midst of your guilt, in the midst of your messiness, I won't give up on you. And God, in that very moment, said, I will make all things right again. And the rest of the Bible, like if you're a new Christian, listen, the rest of the Bible, as confusing, as controversial as it can be, as like deep and theological, if you're always like, if you've said to yourself, man, I've tried to read the Bible, I just don't really understand. Like, I don't fully comprehend everything that's happening. I kind of plop myself in. I flip the pages and I land on a story, and sometimes I get it, but a lot of times I don't get it. And I don't really know what this whole thing's about. Like, if you ask me, what is the Bible really about? I don't know. Let me tell you right now, the Bible, the rest of the Bible past those two pages is God saying, I will not give up on you. And I will pursue you, and I will be relentless in my love towards you until all things are made right again, until everything is back to the way that it was designed to be. Everything because of your decision, humans, has caused brokenness. But I will not give up on you. In fact, I will pursue you even when you don't like me, even when you turn your back on me, even when you don't pursue me, I will pursue you until everything comes back to the way it was designed to be. God is really nostalgic. Like, God wants, he remembers what things used to be like. He remembers those days back in the garden where he walked with humans and there was no friction. And God says, I won't give up on you until all things are made right again. Now, later in the Bible, there's a guy named Paul. And Paul says, husbands, I want you to love your wife the way that Christ has loved the church or humanity or his bride, the people that he has called. Now, that's a crazy task. It sounds good, right? Like, we hear that all the time. We tattoo that. We sing it in songs. We tell people in church, or we memorize that scripture, or we put it on a plaque on our wall or whatever. It sounds good. Like, yeah, love your wife the way Christ loved the church. The truth is, that is an insane, that's a crazy order. That's a crazy command, because how was Jesus' love towards humanity? It was relentless. It was passionate. It was faithful. It did not give up. There's one scripture in the New Testament where Jesus is literally being arrested and he starts to be mocked. And one of his closest friends, a guy named Peter, is standing off to the distance. And Peter's having like a major faith meltdown in this moment. And somebody asks Peter, hey, isn't that your friend being arrested? Aren't you associated with that guy? And Peter looks at Jesus. The Bible actually says that they make eye contact. In this very moment, while Jesus is arrested and he's being mocked and he's being accused of something he hasn't done, he looks at Peter. They make eye contact in between the crowd, and Peter looks while he's looking Jesus in the eye, and he says, I don't know that man. Think about that. He says, I don't know who that is. Jesus, Peter had just spent the last 3 years with Jesus, day in, day out, doing every single thing with this man. He had professed his faith to this man. Hours earlier, he was ready to kill for this man. And then he says, I don't know him. Now, Jesus could have said, and maybe should have said, okay, you know what? This is crazy. If my best friend, like if one of my best friends in the world, the guy that I've just spent 3 years of my life pouring into, is saying that he doesn't even know me, like maybe this isn't worth it. Like this probably isn't worth it. You know what? I'm God. Why don't I just like blow up this place, or like flip all this whole place around, and I'll just like bust out of these chains or whatever, and I'm out of here. Like, this is crazy. This isn't worth it anymore. But Jesus, while Peter is denying him, while Peter is still yet sinning, Jesus continues to say, I'll go on a cross. I will take the punishment of humanity. I'll take the punishment of Peter and every single other man and woman in the history of the world. I will take their punishment because I want things to be back to the way they used to be. Jesus, as God, was saying, I haven't forgotten how things used to be, and I will pursue and I will not give up. I will not give up on you. I am passionate. I am faithful. I am committed. I'm relentless. I'm unconditional in my love towards you. And Paul says, love your wives like that. Man, now here's the thing. I know there are a lot of women listening. You guys try to sneak in all the time into the Dad Tire group. You're totally welcome to listen to these podcasts. I'm grateful to have you. But man, wouldn't you love your husbands to love you with that kind of love that is unwavering, passionate, relentless, faithful, unconditional love? Paul says, husbands, love your wives like that. That's a tall order. And now here's the thing. Those kinds of things sound good on a wedding day. But if you're married and you're listening to this, you know that there are days where you wake up and you don't even like your spouse. In fact, today could have been one of those days where you woke up and you don't even like the person you're married to. And there are people around you. There are other men, there are other friends, there may even be family members. If none of those people, there is an enemy who is speaking lies, who is saying things into your brain over and over and over again, that is saying, man, life is too short for this. Like, there are plenty of fish in the sea. What am I doing? It probably would be easier to just like get out, to bail, to start over. This isn't working. She's not the woman she used to be. This isn't what I signed up for. This isn't the marriage I thought I would have. And Paul would say, dude, love your wife. Husbands, love your wife the way that Jesus loved the church. Husbands, man listening, love your wife the way that Jesus loved his church. That means you will be unconditional towards her. To break that down even simple, you love her without condition. You love her regardless of her behavior, her actions, the things that you want her to do or don't want her to do. You love her passionately and faithfully and relentlessly because that is the way that Jesus loved you. And this, my friends, is the whole point of marriage. When your friends, when your family, when somebody around you says, why don't you just give up? Like, why don't you bail? Why don't you leave? When that voice inside your head says, man, you should probably give up right now. You say to them, you say to yourself, you say to the enemy, I will not give up. I will not stop pursuing the woman that I made a commitment to, who I entered into covenant with God with. I will not give up because God did not give up on me. And this goes back to the very first pages of Scripture. When humanity stepped outside of God's design and God could have and he should have said, I'm out. God has had every reason to bail on us, but he doesn't. God keeps forgiving you. God keeps loving you. God keeps pursuing you. God is relentless in his love towards you. His patience doesn't end with you. And that is why you love your wife, your husband like that, because you have been loved like that by a God who has been relentless in his love towards you. And then when the world around you, when your friends, when your family, when your kids, when your grandkids ask, why didn't you give up? Why didn't you leave? You say, because God did not give up on me. And at that point, your marriage is speaking to something greater than yourself. Your love story is speaking to a love and a story much greater than your own. And that, friends, is why God designed marriage. So that husbands and wife, man and woman, can display for the world what love looks like between God and his people. Listen, marriage is insane. Like, you strip down all the love, fluffy stuff, all the emotions. Marriage is crazy. You have two selfish, broken, sinful people say, hey, I will commit the rest of my life to you. Not only that, I'm going to live under the same roof as you. Not only that, I'm going to sleep in the same bed as you. And then throw all the hard parts of life at you and say, hey, yeah, let's do this together. And let me sacrifice every single day to put your needs above my own. That's insane. Like, that's not even reasonable. And yet we do it because we can say, this is how God loved us. While we were still yet sinning, while we were the ones looking God in the eye and saying, I don't even know that man, God said, I'll still go to the cross for you. I'll still die for you. We continue to love our spouse because God continues to love us. May your marriage friends speak of a love story much greater than your own. I pray that if you found this podcast today, and you are in a dark place, and you're in a rough spot, and you feel like quitting, I pray that by the grace of God, that His Holy Spirit would have shown up today, and for today you would feel the hope to continue, not by your own strength, but as you remember that God has been faithful to you. If you try to love and forgive and show all this grace on your own, you will fail. But if you are connected to the reality that God has been so gracious to you, that He keeps forgiving you, that He keeps loving you with no conditions, once you tap into that, your tank to be able to forgive, your forgiveness tank, your love tank, your pursuit tank, all of that will be filled again. That's my prayer for you, friends. If you're in that spot, I would love to meet you. I'd love to pray for you. I'd love to be any of encouragement that I can to you. You can shoot me a message at hello@dadtire.com. hello@dadtire.com. Let me know what's going on. Also, come join our group on Dad Tired group on Facebook. I love you. Let me pray for you. I feel like I need to pray for you. Jesus, Lord, for any husband or wife that's listening to this, and that feels like today they woke up feeling like they don't even like the person they're married to, and they feel like they have no hope for moving forward, I pray by your Spirit that you would remind them of your great love for them, that their love for their spouse would become supernatural, that it wouldn't make sense to them and to the world, but that it would be by your grace and by your Spirit that you remind them of how supernatural, how amazing your grace is towards them. And that would be the thing that fuels them to continue to fight hard in their marriage. God, I pray that you'd save marriages for your glory, not for our story, but for yours, Lord. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Thank you guys for listening. I appreciate it. If you like this podcast, it means the world to me. If you would rate it, subscribe it, leave a review. It really does help out a ton. It's not just for my own pats on the back. What it does is it keeps the podcast on the front page of iTunes, and that puts it in front of more people so that more people can hear the gospel truth of Jesus. That's really my hope, is just that more people, more guys can be encouraged by this stuff. So if you enjoy the podcast, please rate it, review it, subscribe to it. It helps out a ton. Appreciate it. I love you guys. Thank you for taking the time to listen. Have a good rest of your day. Later.